For our scripture reading this morning, let's turn to the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and the first chapter of the book of Joshua. We'll read the whole of the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. Then we'll read the first nine verses of Joshua chapter 1. Text for our sermon is found in verses 5 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. Because of the length of that section, we won't reread that. Word of God, beginning in Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. The Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now what follows, verses 5 through 9, is the text for our sermon this morning. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We read the word of God that far this morning. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Word of God is a word of powerful encouragement to office bearers in the weighty work that God has given them to do. It was a word of encouragement that God spoke to Joshua in his work as a special office bearer. And in the thousands of years since then, it served as an encouragement to those who serve in special office in the church. God spoke this word when the people of Israel were about to inherit the promised land. They were camped on the east side of the Jordan River, ready to go in and to take possession. Before they go in, Moses dies. God takes him to the top of Mount Nebo. And there Moses dies. He's not able to lead the people into the land because in anger he struck the rock. After Moses dies, there's a period of 30 days when the people of Israel mourn for him. And then God raises up Joshua to be their new leader. God had qualified Joshua for that work. Joshua, for 40 years, had served as Moses' minister or assistant. He had led the armies of Israel into battle against the Amalekites while Moses had his hands raised. He, with Caleb, spied out the land of Israel and returned with a good report, even in the face of the opposition of the whole nation. God had endowed him with great wisdom. He was ready serve now in this office. But Joshua was understandably afraid. He was afraid because of the weighty responsibility, the awesome calling that God had set before him to serve his people. And for that reason, God addresses a word of encouragement to Joshua. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be strong and of a good courage. That's a powerful word of encouragement to office bearers today. It's a word that does have application to all of us as we hold the office of all believer in the church. We have weighty responsibilities. Everyone, the weighty responsibility of living our life as a Christian in the midst of this world, of serving in the church as God commands us to do so, being faithful in our marriages where God has given us a spouse, being patient and wise in instructing our children where God has given them to us. We also have fears with regard to those responsibilities and need the encouragement of the Word of God. God is with us. Be strong and of a good courage. But especially do these words apply to the men whom God has called to stand in the special offices in the church. God lays upon us as office bearers a weighty responsibility. The work of the special offices is at times difficult and demanding. There's obstacles, there's opposition in that work. There are fears that we have in taking up that work. Undoubtedly, the two men who take up the work of the office this morning have a certain fear and trepidation as they enter into the work. The men who continue to serve, the men who are leaving the offices can attest to that. Fear that we have in taking up such a weighty office and responsibility. We need then the encouragement of the Word of God to us. Fear not, for I am with thee whithersoever thou goest. Be strong and of a good courage. Consider this text under that theme. Be strong and of a good courage. Notice first of all the strength, secondly the source, and then thirdly the success. God commands Joshua in his office as the leader of God's people to be be strong and of a good courage. Joshua needed that strength and he needed that exhortation. He needed that because of the difficult work that God had just called him to. There were a number of factors that would have made Joshua fearful as he took up that work. One of the factors that perhaps made him fearful was the fact that he was replacing Moses. Moses was a great leader. We read of that in Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." We would say today that Joshua had large shoes to fill. Moses was an outstanding, a meek, a wise leader of God's people. And now Joshua has to come as his replacement. And the fear was there that the people would not respect him. The people would not listen to him. There were times when they didn't respect and listen to Moses. Then how would they respect and listen to him? Part of Joshua's fear was the greatness of the people that he was called to lead. At this point, conservative estimates put the population of the nation of Israel at 2 million people. Joshua is the leader of an enormous group of people. And the people whom he's called to serve are at times characterized by stubbornness, by rebellion, by constant grumbling and complaining. He's dealing here with 2 million sinners. The weaknesses, the shortcomings, and the sins that are found among them. Joshua's fear is due in part to what he's called to lead these people to do. He's called to be the leader of 2 million people, to bring them over the Jordan River, to do battle against strong walled cities and against armed giants. He's called to drive out all of the nations that are living in the land of Canaan, and then divide up the inheritance in such a way that all of the people are satisfied, and all the while ruling over a sinful and a grumbling people. Understandable, Joshua would be fearful as he takes up that work. But what especially made Joshua fearful and in need of strength is the recognition of his own weaknesses, shortcomings, and sins. Joshua was a strong, gifted man. The scriptures bear that out. He was bold and courageous in leading the armies of Israel against the Amalekites. He was bold and courageous when he stood up to the other 10 spies and the whole nation of Israel who said, "We can't go into the land." And he and Caleb said, "We can go in because God is with us." God had qualified him. God had given him gifts. And yet Joshua was humble. And in a godly, right humility, Joshua looks at himself and he doesn't take pride or take strength in his own gifts and abilities, but he acknowledges his own weaknesses, his shortcomings, and his sins. And he knows, in myself, I cannot do the work that God has called me to perform. It's understandable then that we would read what we do in verse 9, where God says to Joshua, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." And those words imply that Joshua was fearful and dismayed. And the word dismayed literally means to be broken or shattered. Joshua was tempted to be afraid to such an extent that his heart was broken, his spirit and his courage was shattered. And he was in a panic as he faced this monumental task. Joshua needed strength. He needed to hear the command and the exhortation of God in his word, "Be strong and of a good courage." Same thing is true for God-fearing office bearers today. We need that strength and we need that encouragement from the Word of God. We need that because of the weighty responsibilities that God has placed upon us. It's no small thing to take up the office of pastor or elder or deacon in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need that because the work at times is very difficult. We're dealing with church of sinners. All of us, office bearers included, sinners with sinful natures that we bring into the church. And often the work of an office bearer is dealing with the weaknesses, the shortcomings, and the sins found amongst God's people. The work is weighty because of the greatness of the people that we're called to care for. We don't belong to a church of 2 million people. That's not the greatness that we have in mind here. Not numerical greatness, but greatness from a spiritual point of view. Office bearers are called to serve the precious blood-bought sheep of Christ. Christ has entrusted to their care and to their oversight and stewardship those whom He loves so much that He went to the cross and gave His life for them. What a weighty responsibility to be entrusted with the careful oversight and service to great, precious people of God. Work is weighty because of what we're called to do with regard to God's people. Office bearers are called to lead. To lead by serving God's people. Serving God's people so that they're able to go out in spiritual battle against their spiritual enemies, to wage warfare against the devil and the world and their own sinful flesh. Called to lead by serving God's people so that they're consciously enjoying the blessings of the inheritance in the spiritual promised land, the blessings of their salvation. And the work is especially a weighty responsibility because every God-fearing, humble office bearer knows his own weaknesses and shortcomings. God forbid that there ever be an office bearer who goes into the office in pride and says, I can do this. I'm not nervous about this. There's no fears at all. I've got this in my own strength. I can do this work. Such a man ought not to be called to the office in the church. God-fearing, humble office bearer enters into the work the deep consciousness of his own weaknesses, his own shortcomings, and his own sins, and acknowledges, in myself, I can't do this work. I don't have the strength, I don't have the wisdom for this awesome responsibility before God, serving His precious sheep. For that reason, we need encouragement. We need strength. We need to hear the exhortation of God Himself, office bearers, be strong and of a good courage. That was something that God said to Joshua repeatedly. It was something that Moses first exhorted Joshua to do when Moses was still alive. Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8. Moses says to Joshua there, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 23, he says again, be strong and of a good courage. Moses says that to Joshua. Then here in our text, God says that to Joshua, not just once, but three times. Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. And then the people of Israel say that to Joshua as well. The end of Joshua 1, verse 18, people of Israel say to him, only be strong and of a good courage. Moses says that to Joshua. God says that to Joshua. The people of Israel repeat that to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. It's a necessary word of God for office bearers to hear and to hear over and over again. The strength that we need is the ability, the power, the energy to carry out the duties and responsibilities that God has given to us. It includes physical, emotional, mental strength, but especially spiritual strength. Spiritual strength to persevere in long obedience to God and the calling that He's given. With that strength, there must be courage or boldness. That's the spiritual strength to carry out one's work in spite of opposition and obstacles. There will be obstacles in the work of the special offices. There will be at times opposition in that work. Boldness and courage does not mean that a man is without fear. He may have fears in the face of the obstacles and the opposition, but boldness and courage means he perseveres in spite of those fears that he has. Faithfulness to God in doing and in saying what is right and what God has called him to do in the office. Office bearers, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong in the work that God has given you to do. Not just physically, not just emotionally or mentally, although that's included as well, but especially spiritually. Be strong in the work, the callings that God has given to you. Be courageous. Be bold. Go forward in that work in spite of the obstacles and the opposition that there is. Persevere in spite of the fears that you may have yourself. Press on doing the work God has set before you. Be strong and of a good courage. The question now is, how is the office bearer to be able to do that? Where is his strength found? Does this command mean that the office bearer is to look deep within himself and to find strength and courage that is inherent to him, that he's got all these reservoirs of strength and courage himself, whereby he's able to do the work? It's often the way that it's portrayed today. From a worldly point of view, strength is something that a person has innately. If we only believe that we can do something, we're able to do it, the world may say. Only believe in yourself. Look deep within yourself and find the strength that you have. Put your mind to doing what you want to do, and you'll be able to accomplish whatever it is that you set yourself to do. You're strong in yourself. It's often the way that courage is understood, as if it's some natural gift or ability that someone is either born with or they're not born with. We might say that this person is born with a courageous and a bold spirit, maybe because they talk really loud or they thump on the pulpit, or because they don't really care what anyone thinks. They just say whatever is on their mind. They like to speak in a controversial way to stir up people and to get a rise. And we think, well, that's boldness. They're just born with that. that's not the case. Strength and courage is not found inherently in us. And this command does not mean be strong and courageous in yourself. Look to yourself for the strength and the courage that you need for this work. The office bearer who does that will fail miserably. The office bearer who thinks he can be strong and courageous in himself will not be able to do the work. He'll find that he does not have the strength and the courage that he stands in need of to carry out the important responsibilities that God has given to him. The office bearer who's godly, who's humble, acknowledges, I don't have that strength and that courage in myself. What we're called to then is to look to God, to trust in Him, confide in Him, and look to Him in faith alone for the strength that we stand in need of. The source of the office bearer's strength is found in God alone. God reminds Joshua of that fact. In verse 5, He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And in verse 9, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua may have been tempted to think that Moses was such a strong leader in himself. Here was the greatest leader that Israel ever had. Because in himself he was meek, he had wisdom, he had boldness and courage to do what's right. And Joshua may have been tempted to think then, well, because Moses was so great, I don't have those gifts and abilities. I can't do this work then. And God reminds him, it wasn't because Moses was so strong in himself. The only reason Moses was able to lead God's people for 40 long years in the wilderness was because I was with him. It wasn't Moses, it was me. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. The source of Joshua's strength was in God, and in his promises and in his presence with him. And that's the strength for the God-fearing office bearer. Our strength is in God alone. When we look back and we see maybe other men who've served in office, maybe we're impressed with the gifts and the abilities that God had entrusted to them, and we think, well, they could do the work with all of their gifts. How can I? I don't have those gifts. The answer is not in them. It's in the strength that God supplied. As God was with elder so-and-so and deacon so-and-so who served faithfully in the past, so God will be with thee. Present with thee. Supplying the strength that you don't have in yourself. Never failing and never forsaking thee. God is with you, office bearers. Wherever you go and in whatever work you do in the office, He's promised never to fail or to forsake you. God promises that, and that promise is sure, on the ground of the saving work of Jesus Christ. Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ. We read of that in Hebrews chapter 4. Their names are really identical. Joshua, the Hebrew form of Jesus. Both of them mean Jehovah salvation. Joshua was to the people a type of Jesus Christ as their leader. But whenever we talk about a type in the Old Testament, we quickly realize the failure of the type. Joshua was a type of Jesus, but he himself was not Jesus. He himself needed Jesus to come to save him as well as all of his people. The ground of these promises of God to us are in Christ and in his cross. He who is truly Jehovah salvation, the strength that we as God's people have to fight against our enemies victoriously, is in the cross of Christ. The blessings of the heavenly promised land and the spiritual inheritance that we enjoy are ours alone in the cross of Jesus. The promise that we have as God's people, that God will be with us and never fail us or forsake us, is a promise that's sure to us in Jesus, our Savior. And the promises of God to the office bearer are sure in Jesus. Jesus is the King and the head of the church. He's bought the church with his own blood. He loves his church. He's pleased to care for her through the men whom he appoints into special office. And if Christ loves his church so much, he will certainly supply the strength to his representatives, be able to labor on her behalf and for her good. What comfort, what encouragement, comfort and encouragement to us who serve in special office. Elders, deacons, minister of the word, be strong and of a good courage. Why? Because God is your strength. God is with you wherever you go and in all the work in your office. The promise is never to fail you, to forsake you for Christ's sake. Very closely related is that our strength is replenished by the Word of God. Our strength is in God alone, and we look to Him in Jesus Christ for that strength. God is pleased to replenish that strength and to uphold us in the work of our offices by means of His Word. And that's what God says to Joshua here as well in verses 7 and 8. It says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Book of the law was for Joshua not just the Ten Commandments, but the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Deuteronomy, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by Moses. That's the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. God is pleased to give strength to office bearers in their work by means of His Word. God calls us in our offices to labor in His Word. That's not just true of the minister of the gospel. He's not the only one that labors in the Word. All of the offices are a labor in the Word of God. That's the work of elders. They're called by God to oversee the whole life of the congregation, our spiritual lives, the preaching of the Word from Sabbath day to Sabbath day, that requires of them that they labor in God's Word. That they bring God's Word to comfort those who are grieving in the congregation, to give advice to those who are struggling, to rebuke those who are walking wayward, and to know that Word so that they're able carefully to oversee proclamation of the gospel. The work of an elder is labor in the Word. Same is true for the deacons. Their work is not just in the worship service, passing the collection plate and collecting up the money that's given. That's a very small part of their work. The work of deacons is labor in the Word, to bring that word to those who are poor, to address them, to comfort them in that trial that God has sent into their life. Their calling is, at times also, to give instruction from the Word of God concerning Christian stewardship. To remind God's people of the principles of stewardship from the Word of God, about how we're to be careful in the use of these earthly things, perhaps about our giving as a priority to church and to the Christian school and the causes of the kingdom. The labor of a deacon is labor in the Word. That's our only strength, the work we do amongst God's people. An office bearer tries to labor in his own word, to find that he's unable to labor effectively. The elder who tries to bring his own word rather than the word of God will find that that word that he brings is not a comfort to the distressed soul, will not bring about the desired change in the life of the one who's wayward. The same for the deacon as he brings a word of comfort to those in need. If he tries to bring his own word, there is no comfort. He can only speak a word of comfort, a word of authority, when we bring God's word, because then it's not our word of comfort, our authority, but it's God's word. God speaks powerfully through his word to the hearts of his people, comfort, to counsel, and to rebuke. And that means that in our offices we are called to be men of God's word. There are three aspects to that calling that God gives to Joshua. First of all, he commands Joshua to meditate upon God's word day and night. That's hard work for all of us. That's hard work for an office bearer. And the word itself bears that out. The literal meaning of that word, meditate, in verse 8, means to moan or to groan in agony and in pain. At times, our wrestling with the Word of God is a painful, a difficult work that we're called to. Blood, sweat, and tears as we wrestle to understand the Word of God and how to apply that properly to the lives of God's people. It's a difficult work that we must commit ourselves to. God says to Joshua, meditate on the Word of God day and night. Now, Joshua was a busy leader. He had all kinds of responsibilities in caring for and leading a nation of 2 million people as they're marching to battle and taking the promised land. He was pulled in every direction day after day. If ever there was a man who was so busy that he didn't have time for the Word of God, we'd say, that's Joshua. Today also, office bearers are very busy men. Go to work every day, labor faithfully in the calling that God has given to them. Many of them have wives and children. They're called to be husbands and fathers too, in ruling their own home. They have their own homes that they have to care for and maintain. Countless meetings that they have to attend. They're busy men. Never we'd say there's someone who's too busy to spend time in the Word of God, we might be tempted to say the elders and the deacons. God says to them, meditate upon God's Word. It's so important in the carrying out of the work that God has given you to do. Make sure that there's time for this. Don't let this get squeezed out in all of the other busyness of your work. Spend time reading, studying God's Word, reading other things that help us understand the Word of God. So important for us in our work in the special offices. So important that You might be tempted to go so far as to say that if a man says he's not a reader, he doesn't spend any time reading God's Word or seeking to understand that better, there may well be a question whether that man is qualified to serve in the special offices. It's not an excuse to say that. It's an encouragement to be diligent then, studying and meditating upon the Word of God. Secondly, God says to Joshua that he must speak that word. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And the idea is it's always to be in your mouth because that's always the word that you speak in giving direction to God's people. We made that point briefly already. We emphasize that again. The work of pastor, elders, and deacons is the work in laboring with God's Word and speaking that Word to God's people. Speak that Word to those who are struggling. To comfort them, to encourage them. To speak the Word of God and not our own Word. To give advice and wise counsel to those who have questions. To speak this word and not our own word to those who are walking impenitently in sin and must hear the rebuke. Let this word not depart out of our mouths as office bearers, but as we carry out our work on behalf of God's people, speak this word that we've meditated upon. Now that requires a tremendous amount of wisdom. To know precisely the word that needs to be brought in this situation. There are times where an office bearer spends night after night studying and preparing. He has this meeting that's lined up and he's going to bring this word. He thinks that's the one that's needed. And as he sits there and he listens to the heart of the child of God being poured out to him, or hears the circumstances that have changed, he realizes, this may not be the word I need to bring, but there's another word, another one that I've meditated on before. That's the word that's needed now. Or I bring this word, but then there's another word also that I need to bring. I not only need to rebuke, but there's repentance and there's sorrow in the heart of that child of God. Bring the word then of comfort and forgiveness in the cross of Christ. Takes tremendous wisdom to be able to bring the Word of God, to rightly divide it and to apply it, to knit it to the heart of that child of God in that particular circumstance as they stand in need of that. It's the high calling to those who stand in office. That too motivates them to meditate upon God's Word so that they've got this store of God's Word in them that they can bring dependence upon God to the needs of His people. And then in the third place, He said, first of all, meditate. Secondly, speak. Thirdly, do. Verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Verse 8. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. He speaks the word. In all of his work in the office, he's guided by God's word. In his conduct in the congregation, in the meetings that decisions, important decisions have to be made, the office bearer always looks to God's word and labors in harmony with that word. It doesn't always then mean he's going to do what's popular or what's easy. Often what's easy or what's popular may be contrary to the Word of God. But the office bearer is ready to do what's hard and what's unpopular because he seeks to do what's in harmony with the Word of God, to observe that and not depart from it one inch to the right hand or to the left. This is a weighty responsibility, but this is the strength then that the office bearer needs. What confidence do we have as office bearers in doing our work if we're simply to bring our own word? And we don't have any confidence at all in this work. We don't have any confidence as we make decisions at the council and the consistory level. We don't have confidence when we go to comfort that struggling saint, to give advice to this one who's having questions, to rebuke this one who's wayward. We don't have any confidence when we go to classes or we're a delegate to synod and there's knotty issues to be worked through if we're doing that in our own strength or by our own word. God has given us His word to guide us, and what a source of strength that is for the office bearer. As he labors in God's word, meditating thereon, speaking that word, doing all of his work and making all of the decisions in harmony with that word. By turning to that word, the office bearer is strong in the Lord. He looks to God for the strength that he needs for his work. God promises to bestow his blessing upon the faithful work of office bearers in his church. That was God's promise to Joshua. Again, verse 7, at the end, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest, at the end of verse 8, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God promised to Joshua that he'd prosper in the work. And God even tells Joshua what that would be. It would mean victory over the enemies, the driving of them out of the promised land, and the establishing of God's people there. And in verse 6 says, you will divide the inheritance for them. You'll have the victory. You will be the one to divide up their inheritance here. What an encouragement that was to Joshua. God would be with him. God would strengthen him, never fail him or forsake him. And God would bless for the good of his people. And that's an encouragement to office bearers today. God promises to prosper your labors and to give good success. Now we have to understand that properly. It doesn't mean success as the world would define success, meaning then that everything we want to happen is what will happen. As office bearers, we know that isn't always the case. We may desire, as an elder, this change in the life of a wayward member. We bring faithfully the word of God to that member, calling them to repentance, and yet not see the fruit that we want to see upon that labor. There's no confession, there's no repentance, there's no turning and change in their life. From that point of view, we're called not to be successful, but to be faithful. Faithful in ministering the Word of God. If we're going to define success here, we have to define it as God defines success. And that's that God's will is done. And that's our confidence as office bearers, as we labor faithfully on behalf of the church. The will of God is done. And that may be what we ourselves say we wouldn't want to happen at first. Our desire is for that wayward member, for example, to be turned from their sin. In our bringing the Word of God faithfully, they don't turn in repentance from their sin. From our point of view, we say we weren't successful, but the success is God defines it. God's will was done. As His Word goes forth with a two-edged sword. Our confidence is this too, that success, which is the will of God, is the good of His church. As we labor faithfully on behalf of the church of Christ, God will bless that for the good of His true children. He'll bless that for the good of beloved church, so that the church is strengthened, so that that child of God who is walking wayward is finally brought to repentance, that child of God who is grieving and needs comfort is comforted. God will bless the labors of weak, sinful men who labor humbly in dependence upon God and in the bringing of His Word for the good of His church. Elders and deacons, minister of the Word of God, be strong and of a good courage. God has promised to be with you, never to leave you or forsake you in all of your labors, the office God has called you to. God's given you His Word, your strength, as you carry out this work. And God has promised graciously to crown our weak efforts with His blessing for the good of the Church of Jesus Christ. Labor faithfully in the work in this coming year. Strength and courage in God. This congregation will be blessed by God through your labors. Above all, God will be glorified in Christ, the King of the church, will be honored. Amen. Let us pray. The Father who art in heaven, we're thankful for these men whom Thou hast called to serve. We're thankful for the gifts Thou hast given to them to do so. But above all, Father, our thanks is to Thee. As we've seen in Thy Word, there is no strength in us men. And our strength is found alone in Thee, in Christ. And it is then Thy work, a work for which Thou dost receive all of the glory and the honor. Glorify Thyself in our midst. And do so by working in and through these men for the good of our congregation, for our spiritual growth and defense. Graciously forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.